Welcome to Healthy Living, Healthy Planet Radio, sponsored by EarthX, the world's largest environmental experience, and also sponsored by Natural Awakenings magazine. Live your healthiest life on a healthier planet. Now here's your host, Bernice Butler.
Welcome to Healthy Living, Healthy Planet Radio today. We're now nearing the end of our fourth season, and we remain just as excited as ever to continue to help you explore and understand that unbreakable relationship between your health and the health of the planet. Here we look at the hottest topics related to our environment and its sustainability and how they affect your health and wellness. Here, issues like climate change, plastic pollution, extreme weather events, and others will meet up with everyday impacts like allergies and asthma, digestive issues and gut health, cancers, lung, heart issues, and more. So listen in today as we interview experts for our August series on air pollution and transportation. And today we're focusing in on the impact of air pollution on human health, looking at the chronic disease toll of air pollution. Now, air pollution is a very familiar environmental health hazard. We know what we're looking at when some brown or gray or black haze settles over a city or over our area. We know what we're looking at when exhaust billows across a busy highway or a plume rises from a smokestack, like when you're going down Interstate 10 near Houston. It's a major threat to global health and prosperity. Air pollution in all its forms is responsible for more than 7 million deaths each year across the globe. And that's a number that has increased significantly over the past couple of decades. Now, what is air pollution? Air pollution simply is contamination of the indoor or outdoor environment by any chemical, physical, or biological agent that changes the natural qualities or traits of the atmosphere. Now, there are many pollutants of major public health concern, both indoor and outdoor air pollution, that cause respiratory and other diseases and are important sources of disease and death. The World Health Organization data shows that almost all of the global population, about 99%, breathe air that exceeds the World Health Organization guideline limits and contains high levels of pollutants, while low and middle income countries suffer from the highest exposures. Air pollution is a mixture of hazardous substances from both human-made and natural sources. Vehicle emissions, fuel oils, and natural gas to heat homes, byproducts of manufacturing and power generation, particularly coal-fueled power plants, and fumes from chemical production are the primary sources of human-made air pollution. Now, nature releases some hazardous substances into the air also, such as smoke from wildfires, which are often caused by people. Then there's ash and gases from volcanic eruptions, and gases like methane, which are emitted from decomposing organic matter in soils, as well as from cows belching. You also have traffic-related air pollution, or ozone, which is why we talk about air pollution and transportation in our same series of shows. And it's an atmospheric gas. It's often called smog when it's at ground level, or noxious gases, which include carbon dioxide and other gases and are components of motor vehicle emissions and byproducts of many industrial processes. Then we have particulate matter, which we hear a lot more about in this last decade. And that's because we found out much more about it. But particulate matter seems to be getting smaller and smaller and more dangerous. We have volatile organic compounds, or VOC, and they vaporize at or near room temperature, and they're given off by paints, by cleaning supplies, pesticides, some home furnishings, and even craft materials like glue. Air pollution and climate change affect each other through some very complex interactions in our atmosphere. Air pollution is intricately linked with climate change because both problems come largely from the same sources, such as emissions from burning fossil fuels. And of course, both are threats to people's health and to our environment worldwide. Now, the health effects of air pollution remain a public health concern, again, worldwide. Exposure to air pollution has many substantial adverse effects on human health. As research continues, we are finding more and more about these effects. The 7 million deaths from air pollution globally were attributable to the joint effects of household and ambient air pollution. That's just the air around us as we move about minute to minute. And people with chronic respiratory diseases, such as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, and asthma, are especially vulnerable to the detrimental effects of air pollutants. But increasingly, we're finding more and more health impacts way beyond these. And the health effects of air pollution depend on the components and the sources of the pollutants, which vary from country to country, varies with seasons, and it varies with the times of day, times of year. However, combustion of solid fuels is indeed a major source of air pollutants in developing countries. And while it's a tough problem confronted by both developed and developing countries, compared with most developed countries like the U.S. and the European nations that have accomplished industrialization for some years now, the developing countries are confronting more severe air pollution due to their intense energy consumption, their large-scale demolishment and reconstructions, and increased emissions from transportation. And all of this is part of their process of becoming industrialized and urbanized, as is the U.S. and most European countries. And so according to the World Health Organization, more than 2 million premature deaths each year were related to air pollution. Air pollution has impact on most of the organs and systems of the human body. It can induce and aggravate some common diseases, and it even has adverse effects on our nervous system, our digestive system, and the urinary system. Now, the struggles against air pollution seem to be a long time or long-term task for almost all countries, especially China, as we hear daily and read constantly about their issues. However, as we see and as researchers have shown, no level of pollutants in the air is deemed safe. But there are many ways to reduce air pollution and its impacts on the health and our environment. And we're going to explore and unpack some of these today with our expert guests who are going to make us smarter like them. So now this is a lot. But here today to help us explore and unpack some of this are three guests. We have with us Joel Swartz. Joel is a professor of environmental epidemiology in the Department of Environmental Health at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Now, with more than 30 years of experience in the fields of epidemiology and research, including prediction of air pollutants and temperature, and looking at the health consequences of exposure to pollutants, Joel is an expert. He leads a team which developed temperature models for the Northeast, as well as air pollution exposure estimates in the whole U.S. Welcome, Joel, and did I get all of that right?
Yes, you did. Thank you very much.
Thank you for making time to join us today as well. Our next guest is Sarah Vogel. Sarah is the Senior Vice President for Healthy Communities at the Environmental Defense Fund, the EDF. Sarah leads a team of scientists, attorneys, and policy experts to protect health by reducing exposure to toxic chemicals and air pollution. Recent achievements of the EDF programs include bipartisan passage of major reforms to the nation's chemical safety law in 2016. Sarah has also authored the book, which is titled, Is It Safe? BPA and the Struggle to Define the Risk of Chemicals, which narrates episodes of political and scientific conflict over what makes a chemical safe. Welcome, Sarah, and did I get all of that right?
Thank you, Bernice. You did. It's great to be here.
Thank you for making time to be with us today. And our other guest is Mark Ereth. Mark is a physician, a scientist, an inventor, a TED speaker, and he is emeritus professor at the Mayo Clinic College of Medicine and Science Innovation. Mark founded and directed a multidisciplinary research group at the Mayo Clinic whose primary purpose was to reduce the physiological trespass of the heart-lung machine. Mark holds patents for 4 medical devices, and for the past 6 years, he's focused his energies on combating airborne transmission of diseases and the disease impact of air pollution, during which he's evaluated a number of technologies. Mark also serves as chief medical officer of In-Situ Biologic. Welcome, Mark, and did I get all of that right?
Yes, and thank you so much.
And thank you all, Mark, and the rest of you all, too, again, for making time from your very busy schedules to help us unpack this complex or complicated subject, but one that affects each and every one of us. It's all around us. We can't help it. And I am very excited for you to make us smarter, but also to talk to us about how we can survive and thrive in the midst of all of this. So we are going to be right back on the other side of the break, at which time we're going to talk to these three experts, and they indeed are going to make us smarter. We want to give a shout out now to our sponsors. That is Natural Awakenings, Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex Magazine, the Green, Healthy, and Sustainable Living Authority for the DFW Metroplex and North Texas communities. Print issues of Natural Awakenings can be found in all HEB stores, all natural grocers, all central markets, sunflower shops, and many, many other locations, as well as available free for download online at nadallas.com. Check them out. Our other sponsor is Lynn Dental Care, practicing dentistry for over 38 years with a holistic approach looking at the whole body. Specializing in periodontics, Dr. Lynn is board certified by the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology. Check them out at LynnDentalCare.com. And our other partner here is one that we want to join in this special challenge called the Plastic Detox Challenge. And this challenge is put on by EarthDay.org, who is certainly a supporter and an often guest of this show. And the Plastic Detox Challenge is their initiative, and the purpose is to reduce plastic waste and pollution. And this challenge encourages people to take small steps to avoid single-use plastics like bags, straws, bottles, and packaging. And so you can share your eco-friendly swaps for these plastics and inspire others to join this plastic detox movement on social media by using #PlasticDetox. Thank you all, and check out our sponsors and certainly join the Plastic Detox Challenge. Thank you. Welcome back to Healthy Living, Healthy Planet Radio today. To today's show on air pollution and transportation, focusing in on the impact of air pollution on human health, looking at the chronic disease toll of air pollution. And we are back today with Joel Swartz, a professor at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, with Sarah Vogel, with the Environmental Defense Fund, and with Mark Erath, physician, scientist, inventor, and professor emeritus at Mayo Clinic College of Medicine and Science. And again, thank you all so much for making time from your very, very busy schedules to be with us today. So I want to start out today with Sarah. I want to look at, you lead a team of scientists who does research to come up with the evidence for the Environmental Defense Fund's advocacy, as well as a lot of your programs. So I want to ask you, Sarah, how does your research, though, help to quantify the economic and health cost of air pollution? And what are some of the key findings of these that might resonate with our listeners of everyday people in their everyday lives?
Thank you, Bernice. So, yes, Environmental Defense Fund has been working on air pollution really since our founding, going back over 50 years, and now working on this issue globally. As you noted, it's a huge global effort. And we really, you know, we started with science. So we have scientists that work on this issue, but we partner with academics all over the world, including with Joel's shop at Harvard, and even had some of his former students work with us on some great work. We've been really focused on how do we better understand air pollution at that neighborhood scale, so at a much more localized scale. We rely on information about air pollution from what are called regional monitors, which has been incredibly helpful in parts of the world that have them to help us drive those levels down. But new technologies are allowing us to see air pollution at a more kind of refined scale. So you can think about this as air pollution in high definition. So what does that do? That allows you to better understand the distribution of air pollution over a region. And we discovered that, yes, it could. We did some work out in California and found you could see a change in air pollution over a block radius of 8 times. But we thought, well, does it matter for people's health? And so we actually partnered several years back now with Kaiser Permanente of Northern California to look at the long-term impacts of air pollution exposure in the elderly and the associated risks, and saw that you actually saw increased risk at this neighborhood scale. So if you were in an area and we looked at the elderly because, you know, they were living in that region and potentially not moving around as much as others, like young people and children, even small changes in air pollution exposure resulted in increased risk for cardiovascular events, so heart disease. And then we looked if you're having an increased risk in heart-related events, so this, you know, going to the emergency room, increased prescription use, there's going to be a cost associated with that increased risk. And we found that, yes, even pretty small increases in exposure over a long period of time could result in pretty significant increase in your healthcare costs. That's obviously important to individuals, right, who are living with either existing disease and are concerned about increased risk, thinking about the economic cost of that. And that's of interest to our private insurers and obviously our public purchasers of healthcare, like Medicare and Medicaid. And there's been much more work in that space to look at what is the economic burden, both on individuals and, you know, countries and communities and the nation at large for air pollution. And it's quite significant. And of course, if you look globally, the costs are enormous. And we can go into that further if it's of interest.
Yeah, just one add-on question to something that you mentioned, Sarah. Are there any statistics or estimates, cost estimates, as to how much more individually and public health that this increased air pollution effects on health is costing us?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to depend on what sort of where you are, who you are, and what time period you're going to think about in terms of the exposure. So for any individual, it's going to look different. There's been studies that look at costs across the whole developing world. So, for example, the RAND Institute looked at the risk of air pollution across like 40-plus countries, developing countries, and did some calculations on what those total costs, somewhere around $5 trillion for those economies. So we're talking big numbers. The study we did in Northern California saw, with, a very small change in that exposure over 5 years, and this is for elderly, so this is a concentration of 5 parts per billion change over a neighborhood over that time could result in about 22% increased cost for heart disease. Now, so that's just looking at one health endpoint. But as I know we're going to explore, air pollution is associated with a whole suite of health effects. And so the total cost of air pollution for a whole region, right, or a whole community are going to be, depending on, you know, the numbers of people are going to be for the United States, you know, within the billions globally, obviously.
Indeed. But I want to put a fine point on something that you said, and that you said that you all are estimating about a 20%+ increase in health cost in the elderly in the study and the research that you did.
And related to emergency room costs. So it's very specific. We had a very specific.
Indeed. Let me ask you this, Sarah. In the work that you did, is there any estimate or anything you can tell us about maybe how fast or how far, really, is what I want to know, pollutants travel? Because you said you had been looking at it with neighborhoods and you were looking at this in a granular way. Are we anywhere near being able to tell, like, how fast and where to maybe the pollution from an industrial plant will go?
Yeah, Joel, do you want to step in on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, if well, I can step in. So the little particles in the air that are formed by combustion, it takes them about a week before they fall out of the air. And if you ever watch the weather forecast and they say, well, there's this storm here in California and it's going to be here in 3 days, that's less than a week, right? So these things travel thousands of miles. So what happens with very locally generated particles is if they're being generated, say, a lot of on this street and there's a side street, you know, 40 feet behind you that has much less traffic, you'll see a difference in air pollution over that. But then as it spreads out, you get this sort of gigantic plume that, you know, basically covers the country, you know, at a lower level, but it all mixes in. So you get these fine scale variations, but the pollutants travel thousands of miles.
Indeed, and thank you. And that was the what I wanted to filter out with you all and to let our audience understand is that that air pollution affects all of us. Irrespective as to where it starts, it can and most likely will spread. I think we've, and we'll talk a lot more about this later on, we've all been through the Canadian fires. And we saw, I know I personally experienced on my family road trip where I got pollution from that in Washington, D.C. and in Atlanta and some parts of Tennessee. So I think what we're saying, and you, Sarah and Joel, and you too, Mark, help me with this, it's going to spread. It's just where and how fast it spread is a function of weather patterns, is that correct, Mark?
Well, it's a function of a lot of things. Thank you, Bernice. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to remember that my pollution is everybody's pollution, and everybody's pollution becomes my pollution.
Yeah, it's all interconnected. And I think it's very important for people to understand that, because in the past, they've looked at it in low-income and minority neighborhoods, which is where a lot of your industrial sites are located, and they're just belching out minute by minute pollution. And so there's been a thought, we all thought initially, it stays there. It does not. It's over all of us. So it has to be all of our concern about that pollution that's coming out. Because the next minute, the next hour, the next day, or as Joel said, maybe 3 days, it's coming for us too. So I think that's what I wanted all of us to understand. We're going to go ahead to break now, and we'll be right back on the other side with Mark Arath, with Sarah Vogel, and with Joel Swartz, who are making us smarter already. Thank you all. Welcome back to Healthy Living, Healthy Planet Radio. To today's show on air pollution and transportation, as we focus in on the impact of air pollution on human health, looking at the chronic disease toll of air pollution. And we are back with Joel Swartz, with the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, with Sarah Vogel, with the Environmental Defense Fund, and with Mark Arath, a physician, scientist, inventor, and Professor Emeritus at the Mayo Clinic. And they really are making us smarter. I want to start out this segment with you, Joel, and then I'm going to jump over to Mark. Both of you all are physicians, but I'm going to let you, Joel, talk to us about the respiratory issues, and then Mark on the cardiovascular. So, Joel, can you start us, though, with this segment by breaking down for us the process by which air pollution affects our respiratory systems, you know, leading to conditions like asthma and allergies and even cognitive impairment?
Sure. So there are two kinds of air pollutants that you breathe in. One are little tiny particles, the soot you see, candle, and things like that. They're little tiny dots of material that float in the air. And the other are gases. Both of them come into your lung. Now, if you breathe through your nose, which I highly recommend, right, you will notice that the air goes up and hangs like a hairpin turn to come back down. So that's because evolution equipped us to deal with big particles in the air. They can't make that hairpin turn. It's like a truck trying to make a hairpin turn. They spin out against the wall. But the little ones do, and they get down along with the gases. And they do a couple of things. They land on the air vessels that are taking the air down into deep into the lung, and they land in those little air sacs, the alveoli at the bottom of the lung. And when they land there, they generate inflammation. And inflammation is central to most of the diseases of the human body. I mean, it is an important defense against bacteria and viruses, but it also damages the tissue nearby. And if something that's not a bacteria is generating that, that's just bad for you. And they do that. In addition, some of the smallest particles can get into the bloodstream and can also get moved up in your nose and get into the brain. And the tiny ones that get into the bloodstream can also get into the brain. And also, some of the things that are making up this particle are soluble. And so they can get into the blood. And that's why you get inflammation all over the body associated with these things that initially land in the lung. Now, inflammation in the lung exacerbates asthma, it exacerbates chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, it may produce chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and it interferes in general with our ability to breathe. So that's not a good thing. But it certainly, we see inflammation in the brain, and that is something that's associated with cognitive issues in children, behavioral issues, and also in the elderly. The decline of mental capacity in the very old and the onset of dementia is accelerated by inflammation in the brain. So those are the kinds of things that breathing in air pollutants do.
Thank you so much, Joel. That you're going to be my new best friend, because that is just such a plain spoken, easily understandable explanation of it all that I think we can all understand. Thank you so much. We're going to get back with you shortly to unpack that some more. But I want to go to Mark now and have him kind of break down that process by which air pollutants affect our cardiovascular system. And to also, Mark, I've noticed that it's always the go-to has been respiratory. But even in the 4 years that we've done Healthy Living, Healthy Planet Radio, I'm just hearing so much more conversation about air pollution and cardiovascular disease. So if you can break down that process for us, that we would greatly appreciate it.
Well, it's at the same time, it's fascinating and it's quite scary, Bernice. Just as Joel was saying, it is the smallest of these particles, the ones that are the size of a virus or even smaller. And Joel said some of them, and he's exactly right, some of them. But when we think about sheer numbers, we have billions of these teeny tiny particles for every 100 of the very large particles. And those are the ones that go the deepest down in our lungs all the way out. They are so small that they migrate across tissue. They migrate across the wall of the alveolus of the lung into the wall of the blood vessel, and then they circulate around. And just as Joel mentioned, as they stimulate inflammation in the lung tissue, they stimulate inflammation all up and down all of the blood vessels and in every organ in which they in which blood perfuses, which is all of our organs. And what's really scary is we know that even short-term exposures can cause significant long-term problems. And we even know that these ultrafine particulates will cross the placenta. We've had obstetricians show us gray and black colored placentas after babies are delivered. We know that at as early as 7-week in gestation that the fetus is able to take up, or rather the ultrafine particulates are deposited within the brain, the liver, the heart, and lung tissue in 7-week gestational fetuses. And so these particulates are everywhere, and everywhere they go, they cause inflammation, and that leads to the 16% of all dementia worldwide. That leads to the 25% of all heart attacks and strokes are due to air pollution. And so we have this ubiquitous chronic exposure, all of us do to varying degrees, and that affects all of us, all of our family members, and our young children, and many of those effects last a lifetime. And then the last thing I'll mention is that these particulates are never cleared from your body, and so you carry them forever, and they stimulate inflammation forever.
Indeed, that is a little scary. And I want one more question, though, for you, Mark, on this, and then I want to talk about things that we can do to protect our health. Mark, do you have any, as a scientist, I know you've seen this impact. Can you share any specific maybe patient stories or experiences to highlight this link?
Well, we published an article about 2 years ago in the Journal of Hospital Infection, and we were able to demonstrate over 2 years of time that we were able to reduce particulate exposure, contributed a reduction in inflammatory events, as well as a 43% reduction in viral infections by the implementation of certain types of technology within a 120-bed hospital on Long Island. And so that's an example where the right intervention can affect acute and chronic health. So that's one example. And we certainly know, especially from the work that Sarah's done, looking at populations of patients, that if we look at just particulate matter levels, the PM2.5s, or I like to actually measure PM0.3, the much smaller particles, that those are directly, exposure to those are directly related to all kinds of childhood illness. And if you are able to intervene by cleaning the air in your home or wherever you're, that intervention is going to be able to help reduce the risk to them long term.
And this is to, we only have about a minute to go before we go to break, but to both Mark and Joel, where are we, or when will we get to the point maybe where the death certificate or the doctor's prognosis will say, this disease that you have, this dementia, this cardiovascular incident, or this respiratory, this is caused by air pollution, the particulate matter that's in air pollution. When are we going to get to that point?
Never. Okay. We do not have death certificates that say that this was caused by high cholesterol or high blood pressure, because all of these diseases have multiple causes. And so you can't separate out and say, well, this heart attack was due to high blood pressure and that one to high cholesterol and the third one to air pollution.
Indeed. And I know that I want everybody to weigh in on this. So we'll go to Mark next and then Sarah to weigh in. However, we've got to go to break first and we'll be right back on the other side to finish this very interesting conversation with Joel Swartz with the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, with Sarah Vogel with the Environmental Defense Fund, and with Mark Arith, who is a physician, scientist, inventor, and Professor Emeritus at Mayo Clinic. Thank you, guys. You really are making us smarter. We'll be right back. We want to give a shout out now to our sponsors. That is Natural Awakenings, Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex Magazine, the Green, Healthy, and Sustainable Living Authority for the DFW Metroplex and North Texas communities. Print issues of Natural Awakenings can be found in all HEB stores, Natural Grocers, All Central Markets, Sunflower Shops, and many, many other locations, as well as available free for download online at nadallas.com. Check them out. Our other sponsor is Lynn Dental Care, practicing dentistry for over 38 years with a holistic approach, looking at the whole body, none mercury. Specializing in periodontics, Dr. Lynn is board certified by the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology. Check them out at lynndentalcare.com. And our other partner is EarthX.org, and we are joining them and encouraging you to join us and them in the Plastic Detox Challenge. This is an initiative to reduce plastic waste and pollution leading up to April 2024 Earth Day. The challenge encourages people to take small steps to avoid single-use plastics like plastic bags, straws, bottles, and plastic packaging. And then you can share your eco-friendly swaps and inspire others to join the movement with us on social media using hashtag plastic detox. Again, these small steps matter, and the challenge is not only focusing on individual actions, but also encourages all of us to spread awareness and inspire others to join the movement. Thank you very much, and do join our Plastic Detox Challenge. Thank you. Welcome back to Healthy Living, Healthy Planet Radio. To today's show on air pollution and transportation, as we explore and unpack the impact of air pollution on human health, focusing in on the chronic disease toll of air pollution. And we are back with Jewel Swartz from the Harvard T.H. Chan School, with Sarah Vogel from Environmental Defense Fund, and with Mark Arath, who is Professor Emeritus at the Mayo Clinic, and he's Chief Medical Officer at In-Situ Biologic. Again, thank you all so much for being with us. And time really has flown by. It does that when you're having fun. Before the break, Jewel had just been talking to us about the never that will be, or the never that's never going to come, that time when we may see, or when I'm wondering, when we may see on death certificates that a lot of these respiratory issues and cardiovascular issues were indeed caused by air pollution and particulate matter. And so I want to go now to Mark to weigh in on that, and after then we'll let Sarah weigh in on it. Mark?
Thank you, Bernice. Yeah, so fortunately, you know, Jewel is correct. We don't have air pollution listed on a death certificate very often. It has been done. The first one that I was able to find in the literature was a nine-year-old who died. She had chronic asthma, she lived just about 30 meters from London's South Circular Road. And Sarah's nodding her head. She's heard of this too. It's Ella Kissa-Debra. And so there was a pathologist that said air pollution was a cause of death in her case. And yet this is one of the very few times we've ever seen this recorded. And yet the first documented death from air pollution is actually, I found, was from 150 AD in a mummy. So it's been around forever, and yet we don't talk about it on the death certificate.
Sarah?
No, I was just going to raise up the story of Ella, whose mother fought for 7 years to have the death of her daughter, who suffered from really chronic and acute asthma. And as Mark pointed out, lived by probably the busiest circular, you know, roundabout in London. And her mother, Rosamund, has become sort of a global ambassador for the need to clean up the air quality all around the world.
Sarah, as an advocacy organization, in addition to y'all's research, which I think is really cool, how do you think we can have individuals easily grasp the connection between poor air quality and the rise in chronic diseases like asthma, COPD, cardiovascular issues, and even this increase in cognitive diseases? I'm pretty sure it's been documented that there is a higher incidence now of dementia, Alzheimer's, and other cognitive issues. So how can individuals grasp that more easily? How can we make an impact and sensitize people?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's difficult on two levels, right? In that we've been very fortunate in a lot of the places that all of us live in to breathe fairly clean air, right? We look out our
fairly
windows
clean.
And you're not seeing that air quality. We know that's not true, right? It's these invisible particulates and gases that Jewel and Mark have so eloquently talked about. There are a lot of people all over the world where that is not their daily experience. And there is a lot of growing awareness that they're breathing and the constriction in the lungs, women coming in with lung disease who are non-smokers. I mean, it's transforming the way a lot of people are thinking about that relationship between the air that they breathe. You know, as an advocacy organization, we want to do two things, right? We want to empower people with information to take necessary preventative steps. That's really important when you have particularly these unfortunate frequent acute events that are related to things like wildfire or bad air pollution days because of rising temperatures. And we can talk more about that, where they're having, you know, increased levels of ozone pollution, which you mentioned in your opening, so that people can take that seriously and take preventative steps or do the kind of work that Mark is talking about in terms of investing in air filtration systems for the indoor air environment. But the big that we can see in our air quality are big societal transformations, right? Moving to clean energy, clean transportation, so that we all don't have to take those steps individually, right, to protect ourselves. That's not the solution. We need both. We need to be making these big societal investments because they're going to pay off in a number of ways, right, both in terms of reducing pollution that's contributing to greenhouse gas and climate change, and these harmful air pollutants that are undermining our health and well-being.
Joel, I want to ask you, too, what are perhaps some of the lesser-known health effects of air pollution that people might not be aware of, and how do they influence our daily lives? You know, we talk a lot on this show in our August theme of air pollution and transportation. We talk a lot about respiratory issues and cardiovascular. But what are some of the other perhaps lesser-known connections and diseases and health issues?
Well, there are a number of them. So we already briefly mentioned cognitive effects in children. We're seeing air pollution associated with lower cognition in children and with other kinds of changes. And we're confirming that with studies looking at MRI scans of the brains, and we can see things happening there. But also cancer. The relationship between air pollution and lung cancer is pretty well established, but we've been seeing associations with breast cancer, with prostate cancer, and more recently with colorectal cancer. I mean, these are the most common cancers that we have, and so that's something I think people haven't noticed enough, but it's been there in recent years in the scientific literature, and we're going to be seeing more of it. So that's a key area that I think deserves more attention by the public.
Indeed. And just like years ago, well, 4 years ago when we started the show, and it was mainly respiratory, and they were cardiovascular was there, but was just beginning to be talked about more. And so what I hear you saying, and I will expect to look at, and we'll look at it in our research too, is it's some of the other issues, the cancers. I want to move now to Mark, and you can weigh in on that.
Well, I think that kind of to what Sarah was talking, we need broad, massive initiatives. And let's just remember the success story of the leaded gasoline story, right? That's an example of where an organization like Sarah's has helped enact, you know, a broad initiative. And, you know, we know that now, because of the leaded gasoline being removed from our fuel, it's probably saved over 1 million lives. We know that that $500 million investment turned into $500 billion turned into probably around $20 trillion in benefits. And I think the other thing is, much like air pollution, the elimination of leaded gas really helped spare the loss of something like 100 million IQ points in children. And so I think the same thing can probably be said with air pollution. And hopefully we'll have this conversation in a few more years with more data from big initiatives.
And Mark, while I have you here, a couple of other questions. We're nearing the end of the show. As an inventor, have you come across any innovative solutions or technologies that individuals can use to monitor and or reduce their personal exposure to air pollutants?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. There's a lot of very inexpensive PM2.5 monitors that you can put in your home. There's a whole variety of them out on the market now. Some of them sync with your phone and can alert you when things are up. I think the other thing is, We all have smartphones these days, and they have apps that you can link to various tools that can share with you what's the air quality in your neighborhood, and you as a family, then maybe if the air quality is great, get outside, exercise, do what you want to do. But if it's a bad air quality day, well, those are days when you're inside. I think the other thing is, if you're looking at technology to provide a solution at home, remember you want technology that has been tested by third parties. And as I said earlier, maybe that significantly reduces 0.3 micron size particulates. And so I think those are the things I would keep in mind as you try to evaluate technology.
Thank you. And we just have 2 minutes to go. I'm going to get 1 minute to Joel and 1 minute to Sarah. Joel, for those who might feel overwhelmed by the scale of this whole air pollution issue, what are some of the practical, manageable steps they can take to protect themselves and their family from its health effects?
Well, I'd say two things. One is HEPA filters in your bedroom, and you spend more time in your bedroom than any other particular room. And so if you're going to get one, put it in there. And the other thing comes back to these societal changes that Sarah and Mark were talking about. You need to push your political leaders. We know how to control air pollution from cars. We know how to control air pollution from diesel trucks. We know how to control air pollution from power plants. Texas is fighting with EPA now because they don't want to put scrubbers, which have been around since the 70s, on coal-burning power plants in Texas, right? You know, that they produce huge amounts of air pollution.
It's interesting you say that, because yet here in North Texas, we've been under federal clean air non-attainment status about 15 years. But anyway, last word, Sarah, you've got just a few seconds. Last word in terms of what ordinary people in their everyday lives can do to help drive solutions.
Yeah, I would second everything that Mark and Joel said on the personal level. I would add to really, get familiar with those apps and take it seriously when the days are bad, particularly if you're vulnerable, and think about your children as well. We didn't talk about that. But just a last plug that this country is making massive investments in clean transportation and clean energy. Get up to speed, learn about those changes that are happening. They're happening in the states all around the country, red states, blue states, purple states, trillions of dollars going in that's going to transform our air and make us all healthier. And that should be supported by everyone.
Indeed. Thank you all. You've made us smarter. And I think we've all landed at the same issue, too, that once we as individuals realize the effect, then that empowers us and enables us to move forward with our individual actions as well as our public actions. Thank you. And thank you all. We've been with Joel Swartz with the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, with Sarah Vogel with the Environmental Defense Fund, and with Mark Areth, who is a physician, scientist, and inventor, and professor emeritus at the Mayo Clinic. Thank you all so much. You've made us smarter today. And thank you all for listening in today to Healthy Living, Healthy Planet Radio. The conversation starts here, but our goal is for it to continue in your home, in your social circles, in your workplaces, at the water cooler, and in the grocery checkout line, so that we can all work together to realize that healthy living is simply not possible without a healthy planet. Our culture is a result of a trillion tiny acts taken by billions of people every day like yourselves. And each of those tiny acts can seem insignificant, but all of them add up, one way or the other, to the change that we each live through. This is your host, Bernice Butler. Thank you, and join us again next week for more on air quality and transportation. And check out our past shows on podcast wherever you get yours. Thank you.